Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Greetings, holiday shoppers. There are now no more shopping days left until Christmas Day, because today is Christmas Day. This is Christmas Creeps, your one-stop shop for holiday movies and TV shows all year round. Merry Christmas to one and all, and to people who don't celebrate Christmas. Hello, how are you? I hope you're having a fantastic day. My name is Joseph Wade. I will be your host for this evening. Here with me tonight is my co-host, Johnny Five, the human robot.
Wait, if I say I don't celebrate Christmas, can I, like, not do this anymore?
Nope.
Oh. Fuck.
Sorry, Dems de breaks. But, who's that knocking on our door? We got a special guest coming on in here.
Fucking Brad.
You know, we haven't heard from Brad in months, and you just greet him like that? Come on, give me a break. Brad, welcome back to the fold, buddy. How you been?
I've been good. I've been sucked through a time vortex, and I'm visiting you from another plane of reality. Hi, I'm so glad to be here on Christmas Day.
Another plane of existence where babies do not exist.
Yes. Correct. Oh, I'm in a children. Gosh. I'm in a weird Children of Men-esque future hellscape where babies don't exist.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
So, gentle friends, we finally made it once again to Christmas Day here on Christmas Creeps, the time of year when we decide that we've had enough of Christmas movies and we want to talk about something else. So this year, or actually rather every year, except for that one time where we just did straight up do the Santa Claus. So instead of talking about things that are Christmassy, we thought we would bring back July for July at Christmas. And this year, it's kind of been on our minds a lot since there's been a lot of news on this front. We thought it would be fun to talk about the most American of sports movies, the most American of icons, the most American of anythings. The King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters from 2007. A better sports film we could not imagine. And we're here to talk about it here with you fine people today.
The most American of neckties.
Yeah, absolutely.
I suggested this not even knowing about the necktie bullshit. I was just going into it being, what is more American than taking something that's meant as entertainment for children and taking it way too fucking seriously?
You mean this podcast? What? Oh god.
Maybe the greatest sports documentary ever made.
I mean, certainly some of the ESPN 30 for 30s are giving it a run for its money, but this one's right up there.
Yeah, the only one that I can think of off the top of my head is John Boyce's YouTube documentary about the DeVry Troy State basketball game. I love that. Please put it in the show notes. It's so good, but this is also so good.
Now, why exactly did we land on the King of Kong, of all things?
So there's a path leading backwards, and it leads backwards to Vonathon, where we watched a film called Four Christmases. And in Four Christmases, if you recall, well, Four Christmases was directed by the director of King of Kong because Vince Vaughn saw King of Kong and said, that's who I want directing my movie. And the main feature of this movie, the main protagonist, even if you will, of this movie was a professional Donkey Kong player known as Steve Wiebe, which we'll get into. He made a cameo.
He was known as that because that's his name.
Yes. Known as Steve Wiebe. The artist formerly known as Steve Wiebe. He made a cameo in Four Christmases playing Donkey Kong. That's his claim to fame.
And he's sticking to it.
And not really once we get into recent developments. But that got us to talking about the King of Kong. I think we maybe talked more about the King of Kong in that episode than we did about Four Christmases, because who wants to talk about Four Christmases? And then, in a stroke of pure happenstance, Billy Mitchell, who spoiler alert, has been banned from all Twin Galaxies rankings, filed an evidence package for his lawsuit against Twin Galaxies, and that came out like a couple of days right after we discussed the King of Kong. And I said, this is too perfect, and it's a crazy evidence package. Go look at it. He put the picture of himself with like the Namco booth babes as the cover of his evidence package to be submitted to a court of law. It's amazing. It's
oh man,
it's Billy Mitchell all over. But we saw that and I was like, okay, this has to happen. And so I had the great pleasure of live tweeting this movie with Joey.
Yes.
Just a couple months back. I guess since it's Christmas now, technically it would have been like 4 months back, but
since it's Christmas now, technically let the fucking curtain fall.
Still maintaining the kayfabe that we are in fact recording this in late December.
No, like we any are. true American enterprise, we're recording this in October, so we don't have to fucking work in Christmas.
Yeah, if you okay, just let's part the kimono here real quick. If you heard our episode on Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 3, right as we are speaking right now, we literally just recorded that.
I caught up and got a coffee, and now we're recording this.
We wanted to get Brad on the Christmas episode before all hell broke loose in his personal life.
Before a baby literally murders him in his sleep.
I mean, it's gonna happen. Either when they're a baby or when they're 17 years old and...
And you're still doing this and ignoring them? Yes.
The baby's just like, punish!
Yes. Okay.
We
all right.
Oh, good lord.
Enough about patricide, please. I have enough on my mind.
Merry Christmas, everybody. We are going to spend an inordinate amount of time talking about video games tonight. Sorry, not sorry.
It's our Christmas present to ourselves.
Pretty much, yes. And if you're with us on this magical journey, you understand that.
So let's preface it by saying, if you've not seen The King of Kong, please go and watch it. It is a fantastic film. It holds up to this day. It almost is. It's become sort of a period piece because we're in the age, the internet is around, but it's not the ubiquitous influence that it is these days. People still have flip phones and send VHS tapes. It's wonderful.
It's like the last possible moment where analog mattered in the world was in this movie. So, but also, like, if you want to watch it before we talk about it, you know, it's on DVD, it's available to rent, but it's not, like, free to stream anywhere, so just be aware of that.
Which is a shame,
I mean, you could
really
just pirate it, because the only ethical consumption under capitalism is theft.
Yeah.
There you have it. All right, so...
I mean, don't give Seth Gordon money, he's just gonna give it to Vince Vaughn.
That's true. Yeah,
that's true.
Before we talk about the movie or anything, like, Steve Wiebe, one of the main characters, the protagonist of this movie, he got in good with Seth Gordon and Vince Vaughn and all those guys. So he's in Four Christmases in a small cameo. He's also in Horrible Bosses, which Seth Gordon also directed. And then he appears in the movie Pixels, the Adam Sandler movie Pixels, where one of the main characters is directly based on his competitor, Billy Mitchell. But hey, Billy Mitchell, guess what? Your competitor, Steve Wiebe, he's actually in the movie.
Was it the one that Peter Dinklage played?
Yeah.
Is the Billy Mitchell look-alike act-alike?
Pretty shamelessly, yeah.
Gotcha.
But then Steve Wiebe's like actually in the movie.
But hey, I knew an actor's name. Look at me.
Yeah, you knew who the Dink was. Good for you.
I'm just imagining like a shot-for-shot remake of King of Kong, but it's Tim Heidecker and like John Romero or somebody.
Oh, it would be so good.
You know, there was a time when they were talking about doing like a fictional like adaptation of The King of Kong, and I just don't see how that's going to work unless you make it like an absurdist comedy.
Like what they did with Man on Wire, basically, where it was just a redramatization or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
What you would call it.
I think the biggest problem holding that back is, like I just said, Tim Heidecker looks exactly like Steve Wiebe, and how are you going to put anybody else in that role?
Yeah, that's very true.
I could be wrong about this, but I feel like I remember at some point Johnny Depp said he wanted to play Billy Mitchell.
That would be good, because Johnny Depp is a giant fucking asshole.
Like, who do we get to play this piece of shit? Let's just get that piece of shit over here.
Draw a goatee on this piece of shit. Now he looks like this other piece of shit.
So, okay, Brad, take the
Billy
lead on
Mitchell, or,
take the lead on this one. Brad.
Okay, yeah. All right, so the year is 2003, I believe, and there is a governing body that still exists. This is a, by the way, I don't know if we mentioned this. We did mention the word documentary. This is a documentary.
Yes, this is all so, real. All these things actually happened.
All of these people and places and things actually exist.
And I want to point out, like, this is a document. This could very easily fall in the trap of, like, we're making a documentary where it's just look at these fucking assholes. This does not. It takes the subject matter sincerely.
Yeah. It does. But if you're, like, at all familiar with, like, video games and the people that play them, you can kind of pick out which ones are the real assholes and which ones are kind of sort of genuine.
You know them when you see them, because you probably know...
I fucking locker so bad.
Yep. You know these people in real life, or people like them in real life. If you hang it in these fandom and nerdy circles at all, there are Billy Mitchells and your Brian Coos and your Steve Wiebes. All right.
And your Mr.
Awesomes. And your Mr. Awesomes. The year is 2003, and the governing body for video game high scores is Twin Galaxies. And for the longest time, the reigning champion of Nintendo's Donkey Kong high score competition has been one Billy Mitchell, who lives in Florida. He has a mullet, he sells hot sauce, and he has giant American flag neckties. He also held Pac-Man records for a time, I believe, and held a bunch of other records. He doesn't anymore because he's been disqualified, because he's a big, dirty, stinking cheater, but we'll get into that. But this film concerns itself with upstart Steve Wiebe, who, for some reason, I don't even think they get into, like, why he decided to do this.
I want to interject. Yeah. I'm pretty sure, like, it's not under any question that Billy Mitchell's original Pac-Man score was legit. It definitely, or not Pac-Man, oh. Donkey Kong score. It was legit. It's just, then you get into why is he still doing this 20 years later?
Yeah. So, yeah, that should be said, that his original score, he is a good player. He does have legitimate scores, but there's a lot that is called into question with his behavior, both in this film and outside of this film.
Right, because at some point at the beginning, they state that he, at the time, still held, like, the top five world records for, like, Donkey Kong and Pac-Man and Ms. Pac-Man and Defender and, I want to say, Joust?
Maybe.
It's like five. They said he had five world records, and then over time, other people had beaten him.
Come for his titles.
And now Steve Wiebe is really good at video. Yeah, and now Steve Wiebe is competing for basically the last title on his list.
Yeah, and they interview a lot of people around Steve Wiebe, and I don't want to say Steve Wiebe's kind of like he's a guy who's, calling him a failure is very rough and not the right word, but he has not managed to really have anything in his life take off, basically.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He's kind of your average suburban dude.
He's gone in a bunch of different directions. Like, he was okay at music, he was okay at sports, you know, just nothing really ever got more than okay.
Okay at teaching science.
Which he genuinely seems to enjoy. Like, they show him in his classroom, and you can tell he actually kind of enjoys this job.
Yeah. And that's how you date the movie, too, because one of the kids they interview is wearing an Invader Zim shirt.
Yeah.
Yup. Yeah. She sure was. All right. So, he decides to go for Billy Mitchell's title, and he decides that he wants to become the reigning Donkey Kong champion. He is the subject of this film. We follow him to, yep.
I just want to say, like, at one point early in the film, you know, Billy Mitchell's talking about all the great stuff that he's got going on in his life. Like, he's got his hot sauce business, which, like, he's a hot sauce magnate? Like, really?
He also owns restaurants.
He also owns restaurants,
which are, like, wing restaurants, so I think it's, like, a synergy thing with his hot sauce business. Yep.
But also, like, he's the figurehead of Twin Galaxies, basically, because he's their, like, top score champion. And at one point he says, like, you know, I've got all this success. There must be some poor bastard out there who's really getting the screws put to him. And then just hard cut to Steve Wiebe.
Yeah.
Like, this movie really knows how to play up these two guys as, like, a kind of David and Goliath kind of character matchup. And say what you want about how they actually edit the sequence of events to, like, work toward their ends. The movie's really good at it.
Yeah.
Yes.
The entire movie too. Like, it. The one of the biggest successes of the movie is that Billy Mitchell doesn't realize he's the villain of the movie ever.
Yes, he is so 100% like convinced that like what he's doing is like just what you do when you're the champion.
Like, I don't know if someone's told, if they have like led him to believe this or not, but he is under the impression that this movie is a documentary about like his life. It's basically his memoir.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's still apparently like very much the guy you see in the movie.
Yes.
Like we've talked about that before. Like we've had friends who have met him at airports and he like carries around like glossy headshots that he has autographed and just given to people in his suitcase. Like that's just who he is.
I respect him for that because like at least he's not fucking charging money for them.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. He charges money for everything else though, apparently.
Yeah.
So, yes. That must be said about this movie. It is, I'm sure, heavily edited, but it does so well, and it's been such a good narrative that I don't care. It's just great. So, among our other dramatis personae, we have Walter Day, who is the head of Twin Galaxies, who wears a referee suit. Everywhere he goes. Walter Day, sort of a...
Oh, and when we recast this as a actual movie, he's played by Dave Allen Gruber.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sort of a modern-day polymath. You see him meditating and playing guitar and hanging out in his car, apparently. And also, he's the head of Twin Galaxies. Mm-hmm. So, we have this setup where we have Billy Mitchell, the champion, and Steve Wiebe, the upstart. And most of this film takes place at an arcade called Fun Spot. I believe it's in Connecticut.
Yes.
Where it's sort of Twin Galaxies' de facto base of operations.
Yeah, and the way they put it is if you can get a high score at Fun Spot, there's no questioning that it's legit, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we follow Steve as he goes to Fun Spot to put up a Donkey Kong high score, and he does so.
I want to step back a minute and say the movie doesn't really go into this too much other than like a montage of him like drawing on the cabinet or whatever, but Wiebe is very like taking a very mathematical approach to figuring out Donkey Kong. Like, this is a game, it's a computer program, it has to behave by its own rules, you know. Yeah, whereas yes. a lot of the other guys seem to just be going off of like just
instinct,
like just reaction time and shit like that. Where right. Wiebe seems to be actually applying, like, trying to give a method to the madness, basically, and that's what's propelling him along. Because
he's very methodical.
Because what happens is he submits a videotape on his home machine, which for some reason he's using a Donkey Kong Jr. cabinet with a Donkey Kong board in it.
Well, we can get into that in a moment because that becomes kind of a point of contention.
This is what leads him to Fun Spot.
Right. Okay. Yes.
He
that's
submits
true.
A video to Twin Galaxies of him getting. Well, was it over a million or was it just like 900 something thousand?
Yeah, it was the high score at the time, but yeah. It was not over a million, I believe.
And but then because it's and then Twin Galaxies' response was just because it's some random dude submitting scores, is they sent people to Wiebe's house while Wiebe wasn't home to like break open his machine and look at it and shit. And they basically just disqualify his score because they find that he got a package from Mr. Awesome, whose real name I don't want to remember.
Mr. Yeah. Awesome. Oh, man. Hang on, because I'm going to find Mr.
All right.
Awesome.
While you're looking that up, yeah, this
Mr. Awesome is
basically
a polymath of sleaze, basically.
Yes.
Roy Schilt, a.k.a. Roy Awesome, who the movie shows has like created in the 80s, created for himself like a I'm not even sure how to
guide.
Mr. Awesome's
like an 80s pickup artist.
Yeah, he's like an 80s like whatever that fucker the PUA guy is.
Mystery.
Yeah. But there's this clip, and I'll put it in the episode here because it's just so fucking stupid. Of Mr. Awesome trying to teach you how to pick up girls, and it's just so gross.
I want you to remember that no punk bastard ever got a gnarly piece of poontang by being sensitive and considerate.
But it's anyway, the reason he's relevant is because he really doesn't fucking like Billy Mitchell, because they're arguing over high scores, of course. Roy claims to have the high score in Missile Command that for whatever reason Twin Galaxies won't recognize it.
And so with this, both of them checking out the board, Roy Schilt's, all of this, Yeah. Steve Wiebe is unintentionally launched headlong into all of the internal squabbles and politics of Twin Galaxies, because... which is a linchpin of this movie, because it is heavily inferred that Billy Mitchell is more or less colluding with Twin Galaxies because he's their golden boy.
Right.
It was Billy Mitchell who sort of, you know, put the gears in motion to have this board checked out to more or less invalidate this score that was submitted by
Videotape. Which is just pure petty revenge because Roy got one of Billy's Missile Command score invalidated like years and years ago.
Yes. So with that, Steve decides to prove himself and he heads to Fun Spot in Connecticut, where he is launched even further into the writhing, incestual morass that is the lives of all of these these nerds.
But
because that's what they are.
But it's here that we can kind of take a step back for a moment and say, like, what this actually is a movie about is a movie about gatekeepers, because Steve Wiebe comes to this sport, this pastime, just kind of as a novice. Like he's good at the game, but he's not like entrenched in it the way these guys are, and these guys have made it their lives.
Let's use an example here. One of the
Billy Mitchell is Al Bundy. Movie...
Okay, one of these people in this movie, I believe, I want to say it's Brian Kuh, but correct me, one of these people retired early and moved to a trailer near Fun Spot. Well, they call it a cabin, but it's really a mobile home. So he could live near Fun Spot because he was so involved in all of the goings-ons.
One of the absolute greatest moments in this movie is Brian Kuh going around the entire arcade to tell everyone there is a Donkey Kong kill screen coming up, because Steve Wiebe's game is going so long that he's finally reaching the end of the game, and that's something that he wants everybody to see. But also, as he's being interviewed, he's talking about how he really wanted to be the guy to reach the kill screen first. And as Steve Wiebe does it, they cut to Brian Kuh, and he looks fucking crushed.
It's the best.
Yeah, Kuh just looks so fucking incensed at all the shit involving Wiebe. He is one of the main sniveling toadies of Billy Mitchell in this movie.
I think out of anybody in this movie, Brian Kuh is by far the most tragic character.
The Animal House ending screen is just Brian Kuh is still trying to get that Donkey Kong screen. Just might just be like, here lies Brian Kuh, he never scored.
The long hold on him that you just mentioned is maybe one of the most brutal long holds in documentary filmmaking that I've seen, because it's so subtle, but you can tell exactly.
But it's such in the cosmic scheme of the universe, it's such a small thing, but he wants it so badly. And I to know. See him not get it, because Steve Wiebe is now the first person to ever get the Donkey Kong kill screen at that Fun Spot, and that's the thing that Brian Kuh wanted most in the world, and it's gone now.
Yeah. For reference, if anyone's not actually watching this movie, to explain it, the idea behind a kill screen is eventually a game just gives the fuck up and breaks, and that's the end of the game.
Right.
Like, if you get the level count or the score count too high, the game fucking breaks. Pac-Man does that too.
Yeah.
It's an overflow thing where, like, the counter that's used internally can't hold a value that high, and then the game just breaks.
So the goal is to get the highest score you can before you get to the kill screen.
Yes. So at a certain point, there is going to come a day when, like, the Donkey Kong high score will reach its cap, but we've not reached that point yet.
No, we have not.
But someday.
There are new high score, and it's set in March of this year.
Yes. So this...
Speaking of which...
Yeah.
Donkey Kong's a wicked hard game.
It really
is. My high score is like, in the 20,000s. Like, that's how hard it is, and how not good I am at video games, I guess.
That's something they bring up in the movie, too. Like a lot of Donkey Kong players don't even know that there's, like, a third screen, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. But not only has Steve Wiebe taken the Donkey Kong high score, he apparently, off-camera, has also taken the Donkey Kong Jr. high score away from Billy Mitchell. So Billy has, like, double incentive to get back at Steve Wiebe by whatever means necessary. And
boy, does he.
Good lord.
So
go ahead,
Ray. In the same fun spot scene where Steve is putting up the high score, Billy has sent an old lady with a VHS tape. We see it earlier in the film.
An old lady, Doris Self, who is a Qbert-like champion.
Yes. Okay. Sorry. My apologies. Qbert champion Doris. He gifts her a Qbert cabinet, by the way. Billy Mitchell does. He sends her to Fun Spot so she can put up a Qbert score with a VHS tape. We have a mysterious VHS tape. And Billy uses this opportunity to effectively steal Steve Wiebe's thunder. It is, I don't know who planned this, but what a masterstroke of being a gigantic dick.
And then the movie goes it a step further and like shows you interview footage of Billy Mitchell, like at some other point in the production, explaining how important it is to be able to do this live. And then, and then cut to, here's a tape.
Yeah, it's like, have you seen Cocaine is a Hell of a Drug? It's literally that, but with Billy Mitchell talking about live competition being the most important, purest form of video games.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. So this score is a very is higher than Billy's, and it's over a million. But they go to a point in this film to point out the sort of dodgy VHS tearing, I guess you would call it, occurring.
Yeah, they interview on the Robert Ruzek, I want to say his name is Ruzek, yeah. Who is, he looks like the Russian guy from Stranger Things 3. That's the best way I can put it.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah.
He is like their official like head referee, which of note is also Billy is also a referee for Twin Galaxies. So
yeah,
it brings to mind something like Vince McMahon suddenly decides he's going to wrestle after all. She's like, huh, I thought you were the owner. What are you doing competing? Maybe this isn't a legitimate sports competition.
Yeah.
But this is obviously like a point of contention among everybody. Like if Steve can do this live, but Billy has to send in a tape, then why does Billy get to call these kind of shots? And then I guess the coda to Robert's part of the story is that like after that incident, at the very end of the movie, it says like after that incident, he retired from being the scorekeeper for Twin Galaxies, possibly because that might have been an extremely stressful day for him.
Yeah, because yeah. What happened was, while Steve is still getting the score, not even finished with the game yet, that little piece of shit Brian Koo and Walter Day and all these other assholes start playing the tape of Billy getting a higher score, which, if Billy doesn't have an entire set of tapes of him scoring like 1,000 points more this time, 1,000 points more this time, I'll eat my fucking hat. I will go a hat, cook it, and eat it.
No question. He probably did have high scores made to cater to whatever end he might have needed. Like that's fucking like Lex Luthor levels of villainy, but I don't put it past him at all.
Yeah, specifically,
let's just
Mitchell is such a fucking asshole. Like he got this original high score in 1982 and he's still going off of the steam of this in 2003
and in 2019.
Yes.
Can we just gush about how Billy Mitchell, this man throughout this entire film tries to act like he's above it all and it's not a big deal to him, but you can tell it is the wicked biggest deal to him ever because he stoops to this sort of theatrics, you know?
Right.
He's I have a hot sauce business. I'm busy.
And the movie knows he's full of shit because it keeps cutting back to things that he said, contradicting himself at every turn. It's like they say that they wanted you to like kind of pick sides between, you know, who's right. Is it Steve Wiebe or is it Billy Mitchell? It's pretty obvious the movie's siding against Billy Mitchell because everything that he says is used against him in this movie.
Yeah, and like the tape he submits is the jankiest fucking bullshit. And they ask about like, why are there so many errors and glitches on this tape? And he's like, oh, that's a copy of a copy. They're just like, yeah. Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, there exactly. Just, oh, whatever.
So I've heard varying accounts of this movie. Obviously, Billy Mitchell contends that he was made to look the worst possible, but I have also heard that they have footage that could have made him look wicked worse, and actually they're trying to put him in a relatively neutral light for the most part.
Well, this was not even like this was not the only documentary being made about this entire like scene at the time. Like while they're shooting this stuff at Fun Spot and the Guinness record stuff, there are also like documentary crews out there shooting for, I want to say it's called Chasing Ghosts was the other documentary. So like there's multiple crews like hovering around these guys at all times. I guarantee you there's some shit that we haven't seen yet about Billy Mitchell.
Yeah, because at one point he and Steve get really mad and refuse to go to Billy's own restaurant because Steve Sanders, because Steve Wiebe is there eating, and like they're just mad that like he wasn't invited. It's like, hey, your restaurant's open to the public, motherfucker.
Yeah.
So another thing that I might mention, I think I've watched this movie a couple times. It had been a long time since I had seen it until we watched it a couple months ago, but I had never realized until this point, Billy Mitchell never mentions Steve Wiebe by name in this entire film.
Not once.
He never even acknowledges his existence, more or less. Other than the scene where, the one scene where they're seen together, which we will get to.
Yeah.
I guess to wrap it all up in a bow, yeah, there's a bunch of clandestine clicky shit that happens, and it's exactly what you would expect from turbo nerds of this degree. And Steve Wiebe is treated very poorly, and that's about it. And the Mappy Champion guy is kind of cool, but other than that,
I do love Greg Bond Mappy Champion.
I think my name on Twitter is still Bradford Mappy Champion after doing that live tweet.
The fact that Mappy is capitalized too, it just makes it even better.
It's so good. So after this, there is a Guinness Book of World Records co-sponsored event with Twin Galaxies that is occurring at like a, it's like an arcade showroom in Florida, and that's where the scene with, it's near where Billy lives.
It's,
and
yeah,
Billy's,
it's literally
restaurant.
Less than 10 miles from Billy's house.
Yeah,
but
and so it's expected that Billy shows up. Steve Wiebe goes there, and he brings his kids along.
Yeah,
sorry kids,
to put a point
you
on
gotta
this,
play in the ocean
to put a point yeah. on this, Steve Wiebe lives in Seattle, so these are both fucking trips for him to go yes. to New Hampshire and then to Florida.
Yeah, and like he is putting in the work to make this as like official and legit as possible, and Billy is just not having any turn.
Yeah. So there's 3 days of competition, and Steve is there for all of them, and there's sort of this will he, won't he show up, and Billy's doing passive-aggressive stuff like driving by the restaurant in his own restaurant in his car with the film crew outside. Like, this man cannot be for real. But he does show up at the end of the, like, the evening of the last day. And it's the one shot in this film where Billy and Steve are in the same room together. And Steve is playing, and Billy walks by. And then he just remarks, there are some people that I don't want to spend any time with. And that is the only indirect acknowledgement of Steve Wiebe's existence in the entire film. And it is...
I do love... They cut
it
to
paints a picture.
They cut at one point to an interview with Billy Mitchell's wife, who is exactly how you would expect someone like him would, like, you. She is exactly what you would expect a Billy Mitchell trophy wife to look like. It's basically all I can say.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I don't want to paint with too broad of a brush, but it is exactly what you would expect, and you know what you're expecting.
But she drops the perfect little nugget, too, where they ask him, like, have you ever seen Billy compete in public? And she goes, no, never.
Yeah.
So, like, that's all you need to know. Like, if his wife... like knows that he's full of shit. I don't know.
Yeah, because a character we've not mentioned in here is Todd Rogers, who's one of the other judges. Who later on, Billy reports like a high score at a public event at some arcade, but the only person who verifies it is Todd Rogers. Todd Rogers, incidentally, is also now banned for life from Twin Galaxies.
Is Todd Rogers the lawyer friend?
No, that's Steve Sanders.
Okay, Steve Sanders. Who faked a Donkey Kong score and got on a time photo shoot.
Yes, he claimed he had a score of 3 million back in like 80 whatever.
Yeah.
back in the 80s when you could just make things up and show up in Time magazine. I mean, I guess you can still make things up and show up in Time magazine nowadays. Well,
it was Life magazine, but you know, neither here nor there.
Yeah.
But still, one of my favorite details in this movie is that Billy sends out all of his goons to, like, check out Steve Wiebe and verify him and make sure that, you know, basically just to fuck with him. But then he sends Steve Sanders out, like, to this, you know, Guinness competition. And Steve, like, meets Steve Wiebe. He sits down with him. They talk. He watches him play the game. He meets his wife. He meets his kids. Like, at the end of the day, he's like, yeah, Steve Wiebe's like a stand-up dude. I kind of like him. And Billy Mitchell sitting right next to him is just like, I don't know. I couldn't say.
Oh, yeah, That's right. They do actually directly ask him about Billy Mitchell in that interview scene.
About Steve Wiebe.
Yeah.
They asked Steve Wiebe. They asked Billy Mitchell about Steve Wiebe, and Billy Mitchell's like, I don't know. I couldn't say. I'd never met him.
Yep.
Like, you had every chance, dude.
Yeah, kind of the end of it is that Walter Day announces that from this point forward that they will accept videotape submissions from Steve Wiebe. Not his original one, though, surprisingly.
Yeah, for real.
Hmm.
But the wording that he very specifically used was like, you, Steve Wiebe, are now part of the family. And like, that's really all Steve wanted. Or maybe it's not. Like, maybe Steve doesn't want to be part of that family anymore. He just wants his name on a piece of paper.
I mean, after the warm reception that he got in Connecticut, I can't imagine that you'd want to be part of said family.
No, not at all. Not at all. Yeah. Sorry, y'all. I am eating Pop-Tarts right now. Sorry.
It's okay.
I mean, at this point, I think it might be worth talking about the Donkey Kong high score competition in general, because at this point, when this movie was filmed, Mitchell's score wasn't even the high score.
When it was filmed?
Yes, when it was filmed, Mitchell's score wasn't even the high score. Huh. A guy named Tim Zerbe had it. Had it since 2000. So for several years after this, I'm looking at a timeline. It might not be a complete timeline on here, because it probably what's going on is I know what it is. This timeline doesn't have any of Billy's scores on it because Billy's been disqualified.
Yes.
I think Billy did have the high score at the time. Yes. Otherwise, why would they make such a big stinking deal about it? But there have been many claimants to the throne since this movie has come out, especially with the media attention it got.
We got
we had the Donkey Kong,
Steve Wiebe, Hank Chien, who I've heard of Hank Chien before,
the Donkey Kong doctor,
Robbie Lakeman, Wes Copeland, and John McCurdy is who holds it now since March.
And fun Donkey Kong high score fact: rapper Mr. Eminem is was a contender for a very long time, and I believe was in the top 10 at some point.
Yeah, according to this, he was in the top 30 back before like it really heated up, but now he's probably in the top 100, maybe, hopefully.
Oh, okay. Okay,
Man, what kind of a different film would that have been if Eminem just showed up on the periphery, like, not even as one of the major competitors, but just, like, one of the guys that's hanging around the crew? Can you just imagine, like, oh, and guess what? Eminem's in here, too. Let's talk to Brian Koo. He's more interesting than Eminem right now.
As a tragic character, yes.
Yes. So let's go back to Todd Rogers. So for a while, Mitchell had a high score that the only verification of it was Todd Rogers. Then Todd Rogers got disqualified from Twin Galaxies. All of this happened after Walter Day sold Twin Galaxies, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Got disqualified because Activision basically came out and said it's literally impossible to get the score that you claim you have in Dragster.
Oh, that's right. I remember that happening.
Yeah, like he claimed to have like a score of like 5.51 seconds in this game called Dragster, and Activision was like, it's literally impossible to get less than 5.54
based on the programming.
Yeah. So his scores got disqualified, and then because of that, they started questioning other scores, and they started looking at Billy Mitchell's, and they've not really determined. Basically, they have no way of determining that Billy has ever scored a high score on a live machine. That all of his shit has been on emulators. Some of it they expect, like, he's basically like done like a best of segments run, basically, like just splicing together good runs, you know. While Twin Galaxies does have like an emulator scoreboard, like, he was submitting these to the live, original hardware scoreboard, basically.
Right.
And so he's been banned from Twin Galaxies, and that means he's also out of the Guinness Book, because the Guinness Book only cites Twin Galaxies as their source for high scores.
Yes. That's kind of the linchpin for the finale of the movie, is that Twin Galaxies gets into bed with Guinness World Records, and so they hold an event to see if anybody can top Billy's videotaped high score on Donkey Kong before they send the scores off to Guinness.
And, oh, by the way, he does not, Steve Wiebe does not beat that high score sitting there. But it is revealed after the end of the film that he did exceed the high score, but it was soon surpassed by other players.
Like, I really do just want an updated version of this movie that has all of that shit in it. Like, King of Kong 2, please. I'm begging you.
Yeah. Please, please. It would be good. And it may not be as drama filled as this, but it would be good.
Oh, just put it the camera on is. Billy Mitchell and just ask, just like, what do you think about Donkey Kong High Scores? And just record for an hour and then just 2 hours and just release it to the theaters unedited.
Yeah, make it a Fathom event. I would be there day one. Good God.
But another reason we mentioned that inadvertently this movie ended up being also like America as fuck is because Billy Mitchell's the kind of dickhead that always wears a USA tie and uses the USA as his initials.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even have to say it. He's like, you know, what are my initials? Look at my tie. Like, what the fuck, guy? Really? Like, you're that guy? You're going to be... He's not even competing against, like, people from around the world. He's competing from dipshits in Florida, man. I don't know.
Yep.
Yeah, but I bitched one off. Like, the Al Bundy comparison is extremely apt, though, because he just can't let this thing he did 20 years ago go.
No.
There is the question, is any of this kayfabe on his part? Like, he has to know how ridiculous he is as a person, right? Like, I mean, how ridiculous he's being.
Donald Trump exists, so, I mean, there are people that are just this, like, full of themselves, completely lacking self-awareness. So,
you know, I was about to draw a comparison that's maybe not entirely be apt, but, like you were talking about how, you know, Twin Galaxies started scrutinizing all of these scores, you know, the lower level scores making their way up to Billy Mitchell, and I just thought, that sounds familiar. Like, the government's kind of doing the same thing right now. They're picking off all these little guys, and they're making their way up the food chain. I wonder how that's going to end.
It's going to end with Giuliani going to jail at worst, and that's going to be the most, or at best, and that's going to be hilarious either way, so I'll take it.
Donald Trump Jr. is going to be banned from Twin Galaxies.
Yes.
But, so to your question, is Billy Mitchell for real? Like, is he as in on his own personality as the rest of us? And I have to say, probably yes and no, because remember, like, a few years ago, he tried to sue Cartoon Network because regular show made fun of him.
Yes. Because he was the big bad at the end of the entire series, wasn't he?
Was he? I never made it to the end.
I thought that was it. There, but maybe it was just a one-off episode.
Yeah, there was one episode where they're competing for like a high score on a video game, and this dude with a gigantic Billy Mitchell head and tiny little arms and legs comes out and just starts complaining, and they have a video game off, and it's Billy Mitchell. Like, there's no question about it. But the judge threw out the claim because get out of here, Billy Mitchell, you're being ridiculous.
It was Billy Mitchell with like the serial numbers filed off.
Pretty much. But it's fair use and it's called parody, and just, you know what, Billy Mitchell, just get out of here.
Yeah. And when you're that ridiculous of a person, how can you not invite parody? It is beyond me how you get up in the morning and do what this man is doing.
And think to yourself, I'm making the world a better place.
Yes, I'm not being completely ridiculous.
Oh my God, I don't know. I really don't know. But no, what I do love about this movie is the way they really build it and paint these characters as like kind of it. I mean, we were saying it in jest earlier, but like it really is kind of a sports documentary about one team that just seems unbeatable and the little scrappy underdog who will probably defeat them given enough time.
And so what you're saying is that Billy Mitchell is the New England Patriots?
Well, yes.
I mean,
it's very apt, actually.
What is Billy Mitchell's videotape scandal, if not Deflategate, on film?
Yes,
I don't know. I know less about sports than I do about Billy Mitchell.
I mean, he's the reigning champion that everybody loves to hate. And deservedly so, and that's kind of the same thing.
Pretty much, yeah.
And he has the worst fan base.
Are there people who like legitimately love Billy Mitchell like as a character?
Well, I mean, just like the Brian Koo and all of the toadies and his groupies that were in Twin Galaxies. I don't know if they ended up having beef with him, but I assume that if they wanted to continue to do their Twin Galaxies thing, that they had to wash their hands of him. But at least at the time, you could tell that a lot of these folks were enamored with Billy and were talking with him on the phone at Brian Koo's cabin.
That's something that I still kind of feel weird about, is like the construction of how Brian Koo has to like keep going to talk to Billy Mitchell on the phone while Steve's playing Donkey Kong, and the camera's just in Billy Mitchell's house. Like, how did they set that up and why? And that's when it gets into stuff like, well, how much of this is staged? And
yes.
I'm not entirely sure, but it makes for entertaining viewing, so I'm not too concerned about it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I would say that maybe they were actually trying to make, if they were making it, trying to make a documentary about the event and about the they would obviously have cameras following both these people, you know,
right?
Because their expectation would be, well, of course Billy's going to show up there. We'll tape him going, you know, going up there, but then he just doesn't fucking go. So there's like, oh, well, I guess we're staying in Florida with Billy.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. And I mean, I do know that like when they were producing this documentary, like it wasn't initially Billy versus Steve. Like that wasn't what they were going in there for. They found that as they were kind of interviewing people and figuring out kind of what the scene looked like. And then that rivalry kind of just emerged.
By the way, I must mention that I don't know if it's still up, but the original website for this movie was BillyVersusSteve.com, I think, or Steve versus Billy. It's one of those two, I want to say. But like many good documentaries, you find out even weirder things as you go through. A good comparison is the documentary film Tickled. Please, absolute, oh man, you gotta watch Tickled. It's a trip. Did you ever end up watching that, Joe?
No, I
remember
we
watched the trailer for that.
Yeah, I just never got around to it.
You gotta watch it.
Okay.
It's a trip.
All right, here's a couple things from IMDb. It says that, both Wiebe and Mitchell are somewhat more friendly than in real life than they are presented in the movie. The directors basically said, but it's more fun this way. This is pretty much the director's response.
Which, honestly, like, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, and then it also says that this began as a documentary about, like, just competitive gaming in general. Then they stumbled dick first into Steve versus Billy because they said that's why they spend so much time talking to the Mappy champion Greg Bond and also to the Qbert lady.
Right, yeah. Okay, so update, BillyVersusSteve.com does redirect to WarnerBrothers.com. And you know how the Fred Claus site redirects to Warner Brothers? Well, here there's not even a King of Kong site on the Warner Brothers website anymore.
We're just dumped to the main page.
Yep, and I'm looking at a picture of Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker.
Great.
Billy Mitchell sold his life rights to the story for a theatrical remake that never took place. One of his demands before signing was a clause that Roy Schilt would be omitted from the remake and no character resembling him would be included in the remake at all.
What? He would be he's such an interesting character.
Listen, if that's bullshit. That's like, that's cutting off the Mr. Awesome despite the movie's face. Like, if you can't put Mr. Awesome in the film just to make fun of him, why are we here?
Yeah, I mean, the man is already almost like a fictional character to begin with. I mean, a lot of these people are, but definitely Mr. Awesome and Billy Mitchell are like
absolutely
up there.
It's ridiculous. The whole scene is ridiculous, and like the further away we get from this movie and the more I like watch it and come back to it, I realize how ridiculous that whole thing is. Like, because there was a time when the three of us, like, maybe not necessarily seriously, but like we all competed in like pinball tournaments together, and that scene is not a fun place to be, let me tell you.
That's why I keep saying, you know, like, if you're at all involved in even the local scenes, you know a Brian Koo. You know, you kind of know a Billy Mitchell, even though they, you know, they may not be so Billy Mitchell-esque, if you will. But you know somebody like them.
And yeah, I mean, I don't remember any names from the local place, but I definitely remember faces and I'm drawing analogies.
Yeah. Because there's the one guy who every time I walk up to a pinball machine, you know, around here, I see his initials everywhere I go. Like, it's just kind of unavoidable. Like, I see DRZ everywhere I go, and I have to just I have to live with that. And I don't know. I don't even know where I was going with that. Like, I don't care because, you know, he's a nice guy and he's a million times better at pinball than I'll ever be. But like, he's not really the problem with the scene. The problem with the scene is all the guys that are trying to compete with him and think they're better than him because they're all a bunch of Billy Mitchells, basically, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, our local pinball place stopped being a pinball place basically because they realized that all these dudes would come in and they would play for 6 hours and in that 6 hours spend a dollar.
Yeah, And also just because they were absolutely not like the kind of people they wanted around. Like, they wouldn't buy anything, and they wouldn't, like, they would come in to play pinball, and like, they're also a video game store. They would never buy anything.
Yeah. Versus now that same place basically holds Street Fighter tournaments and people show up and give them all kinds of fucking money.
Yeah. So they made the right call. I mean, it's a shame because I do love playing pinball and I would like a better place to do it. But, you know, they made the choice.
Pinball attracts pinball assholes, so I'm not going to blame them for getting out of that market.
Last year, a local place did a pinball tournament and both my brother and I competed for, you know, the finals. And we both got into the finals, but he got into, like, the higher echelon league than I did. So, like, the A squad and the B squad. I showed up, but he didn't because he didn't give enough of a shit. So when I showed up, I literally heard somebody go, oh, the wrong Wade brother showed up. That's how I knew I was really not welcome in that scene because they didn't even like it. Like, they called me the wrong Wade brother, guys. That hurts.
That's a dick move.
That's also one of the most frustrating things about your brother is that your brother will get really good at something like pinball and then just be like, I'm bored, bye.
Yeah, like
yes,
that's like one of his talents, really. But yeah, so that's King of Kong, everybody. So now we have the awkward business of having to score this. We're not using the crankometer because on films like this we have a separate yankometer to score how patriotic these movies are versus how good they are.
Yankometer time.
So on the x-axis, we are scoring how patriotic this movie is versus the y-axis, where we score how good this movie is. So, gentlemen, how patriotic is The King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters?
I think it deserves a point at least for Billy Mitchell's ties.
Yeah, I'm going to say Billy Mitchell's bullshit gets a point. And I do want to say I do think it is one of the more like quintessentially American things of just taking this thing that's supposed to be fun and to some extent intended for children and making it completely not fun and way too fucking serious.
Yep.
But also I want to also award an extra point for Steve Wiebe's just like weird tenacious like drive to get a score in a scene that really doesn't want anything to do with him.
Yeah,
like yes. he is I don't know, he's kind of the best. Like, he's kind of a sad sack and he's kind of just kind of a normie, like, but good for him, you know.
This movie's like what two dads getting into a fist fight at a t-ball game.
Pretty much. That's exactly what this movie is.
Yes.
You summed it up perfectly. That's really what this is.
Why do we waste an hour talking about this shit when John can just, like, snap off the perfect bow mow in 2 seconds?
I mean, I needed something to do today.
I guess. Damn. Oh, that's good. That's good shit. I'm willing to put this at a 4 on the yankometer because yes. Like, this is like the most purely American. This is the most American movie since American Movie came out 20 years ago.
Yeah, it is pure strain.
Pure strain, white bread America, middle America. This is what we concern ourselves with is fucking Donkey Kong.
Yeah, we're fighting over something that doesn't fucking matter. And at the end of the day, also the competition doesn't matter because the guy in charge is just going to get his little toadies to keep him in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You've got corruption. You've got giant ties. What else? It really draws a lot of parallels to this day and age, doesn't it?
Yeah, man, the halcyon days of 2003, let me tell you. Remember when 9/11 just happened and we were all kind of shell-shocked? Man, those were better days. Said nobody ever.
Said Mitch Albom, literally nobody else.
All right, so yeah, a 4, I guess, on the x-axis for yankometer, for patrioticness, I guess. The most patriotic song this movie plays, I guess, is the song from The Karate Kid, "You're the Best."
Yes.
Wasn't there some fucking folk singer who made a song about video game high scores or some shit? And not even in a novelty song way. It was just like,
no,
this guy
was
just...
it's in the movie.
It's in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forget who that guy is, but yeah, they show him in the movie playing this fucking song about video game high scores, and it's not even as a joke. He's just doing this.
Yeah. It's wild. So then the y-axis, how good of a movie is The King of Kong? Personally, I'm a huge fan of this one.
It's a really good movie. I don't buy a lot of movies. I bought this movie. It's good. It's definitely a 4, if not a 5.
It's very, very good. Yeah. It the Seth Gordon, for all his faults with fucking Four Christmases, which I guess can more be blamed on Vince Vaughn than anything else, except he also did Pixels, which...
No, he didn't.
I don't know who to blame for that.
He didn't.
Oh, he didn't do Pixels?
No, Chris Columbus did Pixels.
What was Seth Gordon's involvement in Pixels then? Because he was involved with it.
He might have, like, written or produced it. Yeah, he produced it. Okay, so that's not any better.
So, but anyway, this is incredibly well put together. It tells a story, and you can tell what side the movie is taking without actually like having to tell you what side it's taking.
Yeah, they can say that it's non-committal either way, but come on.
Like, the movie just gives Billy Mitchell enough rope. It's
exactly.
Yep.
Pretty amazing.
And the cast of characters that this movie stumbles backwards into, it's just like, I would, if they had an iteration of this movie every year where it's like, here's the really stupid drama that happened in the competitive video game.
Yeah, they call
it
Awesome Games Done Quick.
I would watch it every year.
Well, yeah, so that's the thing. If there's like a bite-sized documentary that I can consume one time a year and not have to sit through, you know, a whole weekend of bullshit, I would love to watch it.
Yeah, that.
Because it is,
is
AGDQ
known?
It's very entertaining whenever someone gets banned from GDQ for the reasons they get banned for it.
Yeah, why? Like, I don't. I'm not into the GDQ like scene.
A couple years ago, a guy got banned for life from GDQ because during a Super Metroid run where the audience was just basically memeing, he took the mic from someone else and told the audience to go kill themselves.
Yeah, that one happened, and then there was also, I think there was like a MAGA Chud one year.
Yeah, there's a couple of instances of people like semi.
I'm totally okay with
Chud hats.
Yeah, I'm okay with them banning Chud people, ironically or not.
Yeah, I mean, the baseline rule there is, like, don't do any political shit at GDQ. We're supposed to actually be here to play video games.
Right.
And it's really funny because those are the exact same people that piss and moan about how GDQ used to be about the games.
Yeah. But, anyways, point being, this is a great movie, and what a cast of characters. What a competition for the ages. I'm going to give it a... I'll give it a 4. It's not perfect, but it's so good.
I mean, what's wrong with it really, though, is my question.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Billy Mitchell's
right. You're right. Billy Mitchell kind of makes this movie, though. You wouldn't have this movie without Billy Mitchell. Yeah, 5.
Who's going to be the villain? Steve Sanders? Like, come on.
I'm like, just saying, like, this movie, like, just adds to Billy Mitchell's existence, and I kind of have to fault it a little bit for that.
I mean, honestly, it kind of made his existence, because I didn't even know who this guy was before this movie came out.
I know, I'm saying that's a bad thing. Like, Billy Mitchell should not exist, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Billionaires and Billy Mitchells should not exist.
Question, though, I know that actually part of his lawsuit, part of his evidence package was that some of the rulings that were made by Twin Galaxies were as a result of footage that was captured during the process of this movie being shot. I don't think it actually made it into the final cut, but it exists.
Yeah,
in my belief.
Like one of the
my understanding.
One of the exhibits for his banning was like the extras, off the DVD.
Yes.
Oh wow.
And so one could argue that if this movie didn't come into existence, Billy Mitchell would still be living the life that he did before with his, you know, his fiefdom and
yeah,
his hot sauce kingdom and everything like that.
That's true. I was reading a quote from Mitchell. He asked about this. He basically said that, yeah, the tape the guy has was clearly doctored of someone playing Donkey Kong in a MAME. He's just saying, oh, well, that's not my tape. Someone forged it. Like, who's going to fucking forge a Donkey Kong tape and submit it as you to get you banned? Fucking dumbass.
The other thing that that bugged me in this film, like when they showed Billy Mitchell's tape and they had to sit the TV sideways to show it.
Yeah.
It's like it's perfectly the size of the Donkey Kong like screen. And something about that just seems odd to me. Like how did nobody immediately question that?
Yeah, because like in Steve's video, one of the things with it is that in Steve's video, his kid is like yelling in the background, like, "Wipe my butt, stop playing Donkey Kong." And you can't tell if his kid is like just trolling him or actually like upset. And I think it's a little bit of both. Because It sounds like the kid is laughing when he says, "Wipe my butt," but he starts crying when he says, "Stop playing Donkey Kong."
Yeah, yeah. But, like, there's a realness to that tape. Like, you can tell he's actually playing it and his family's in the background. This Billy tape, it definitely just looks like a capture from a Donkey Kong screen. I don't know. Something about it just doesn't strike me as right.
I don't think it's that odd that somebody turned the camera so that it's properly capturing in Tate mode. That's a little gamer term for you all.
I mean, if anything, I guess that just shows that, like, Billy's been doing this a lot longer than Steve has.
Yeah. So, I don't know, man.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Back to the original point, yes. We live in a world where Billy Mitchell would have existed whether or not this movie came out. And I'm, for one, glad that this movie came out, and both for allowing me to step into this world for a moment and also the fact that it got Billy Mitchell banned from Twin Galaxies. So I'm going to give it a 5.
Yeah, like, I'm going to give it a 5, too. Like, every time I come back to this movie, like, it's just, it's so good. It's so funny and so heartbreaking in equal measure. And, like, the bits about Steve and his family are touching, and the bits about Billy being a shithead are hilarious, and it's so infuriating. Like, the worst thing a movie can do. You love to hate him. You hate to see it, but you love to hate him. And, like, okay, again, we literally just watched Silent Night, Deadly Night 3, and it was boring as shit. This movie is not boring at all, and I love it to death. So I'm giving this a 5.
All right.
So I think that's our score for this is a positive 4, positive 5 on the Yankometer. Not entirely sure where that falls with everything else we've covered on the Yankometer, but I'm sure it'll be interesting once Booker books that on the list. So, gentlemen, this has been our Christmas episode for this year. I hope everybody enjoyed it, had fun. If you haven't seen The King of Kong, definitely go check it out. It's worth a watch. If you have seen it and just want to come chat with us about it, come find us on Twitter at Christmas Creeps, and we'll talk about it. I guess I'll say at the end of this episode, I was kind of hoping to hit, 100 episodes this year, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. So come back next year in 2020. Good Lord. And our 100th episode is just around the corner. So stay tuned for that.
Unless we just submit doctored videotape in like a couple months, just showing that we hit episode 100 off screen.
I mean, technically, we hit episode 100 months and months ago. But we had these little things called stocking stuffers that kind of goose those numbers. So, that's this year in Christmas Creeps. It's been a fun ride, and we've got more fun stuff planned for you in the future, down the road in 2020. But if you have any questions or comments or recommendations for future episodes, we would absolutely love to hear them and possibly actually do them. Do your recommendations this time. Send those to us on Twitter at Christmas Creeps. Email us xmascreeps@gmail.com. Go to iTunes or Apple Music or whatever it's called now, or Stitcher or YouTube or Google Play. Like, comment, subscribe, do all that fun stuff. Let folks know this is a show that you enjoy and you want to see grow, because we are nothing if not hungry for feedback. We need the feedback. We need all the feedback we can get. So, for Christmas Creeps, on this fine Christmas day, I am Joseph Wade.
I am Johnny Five, the human robot.
And I'm Bradford, being sucked back into a portal into the baby.
Oh, no, Brad, don't go.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Billy Mitchell, go on Hot Ones, you fucking coward.
God bless us, everyone.
Happy Christmas. Happy Christmas.